We're back on His Time, Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. It's time for Historically Speaking. So I have in studio with me Dr. Daniel Harmelink of Concordia Historical Institute in St. Louis. I'm your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk. You can ask us questions, 1-800-730-2727, or reach me on Twitter. What's Twitter? Don't worry about it. But if you know about it, at Rev Fisk, you can find me there. Dr. Harmelink, welcome.
It's great to be here. Yeah. Happy Thursday. Blessed Thursday.
Happy Thursday. And a few other like remembrance days I'm thinking. Today is, well, it's not quite the 9th. It's the 8th, right?
It's the 8th. So we want to, again, encourage people with the commemoration of Pearl Harbor yesterday. We have a whole article in the Concordia Historical Institute Quarterly in the summer 2016 issue about the LCMS chaplain that was not only at Pearl Harbor, but also the signing of the peace treaty in Tokyo Bay at the end of the war.
Oh, wow.
This is Chaplain Holstein. So if you'd like to learn more about Lutheran pastors and their service to the armed forces during World War II, a great article to take a look at.
How would somebody get a hold of one of those?
Just give us a call, 314-505-7900, and we'll get that in your hands.
314-505-7500. If you would like the 7900. Concordia Historical Institute Quarterly, particularly the summer issue about chaplaincy and then looking at Pearl Harbor.
Right.
And an LCMS pastor who was there, which is, wow.
So, and just a real quick word about the next quarterly that's coming out in a few weeks. It's going to focus on the English translations of the Small Catechism in the Missouri Synod. There's a whole history behind that. And with the field test edition
right.
coming out, or that went out.
Yep, this summer.
This summer. I think the goal is to have a new catechism in place by October 31st, 2017.
And just to make sure that everyone understands what we mean by that, we're not going to replace the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer. We're going to keep what Dr. Luther says. It's that back end, right? That explanation
exactly.
Where you have a detailed Bible study of really every topic. They're looking at updating that, adding some new questions. I believe some things like the pro-life issues are getting put in and stuff like that. So
just a good faithful update. So a lot of work's gone into that. So if you want to send in your comments, I don't know if the time's passed or not for that.
I don't know. It was really close. I know it was, again, this summer. They were looking for feedback, though, so.
But anyway, keep that in your prayers, and we'll have a whole issue about that coming up.
So you made me open my hymnal, which I hate doing. I can't stand opening
a hymnal. Open your hymnal to...
And it's a little flock, fear not the foe, but you didn't tell me why.
So hymn number 666.
Hymnal in hand.
So that one you can remember fairly quickly.
Right.
O little flock, fear not the foe. This is a hymn that people think, well, what does it have to do with 666? Well, it's kind of obvious. Fear not the foe.
Right, right. It's the opposite. It's like, oh, what? Well, there's this weird superstition about 666, which means
it's like the 13th floor in
hotels.
Yeah,
if you buy into that, it means you have no idea what the Book of Revelation's about. But that being said, people get afraid of that, and so sometimes, well, what's on the page number 666 in your hymnal? Is it some demonic slipped in secret thing? And we're like, forget that. We're gonna put one about how the devil's done there.
The important thing is not that it's been given the number 666, but the important thing is the content
yes.
of this hymn.
Yes.
So let me just read the first stanza here. O little flock, fear not the foe who madly seeks your overthrow. Dread not his rage and power. And though your courage sometimes faints, his seeming triumph over God's saints lasts but a little hour. Such a strong hymn and such a comforting hymn. This is the kind of hymn that can be sung at a deathbed
yes.
when tragedy strikes. And this hymn has a history in the Lutheran Church. Centuries ago, there was this 30 years war. It was after Luther's death, everything just kind of fell apart.
Right.
So the Roman Catholic army said, okay, now it's time to wipe out these pesky Lutherans.
Right.
And unfortunately, the Lutheran princes, they were good in theology, not so good in battle. They were better with a
right.
small catechism
right.
than they were with a musket, I guess. And the Lutherans were losing badly.
Yeah.
until the intervention of Gustavus Adolphus. He engaged the Roman Catholic armies in June of 1630. This is 100 years after the Augsburg Confession, and basically save the Lutherans from being wiped out.
Right, which is especially important that he wasn't German, right?
No.
He's from outside the continent, even.
Right. He was consolidating not only Sweden, but consolidating Scandinavia. His title quickly became the Lion of the North. He was made, installed, his coronation was when he was 16 years old.
Wow.
And from 16, he was leading battles.
Right. Wow.
Just a real gifted king, not
like
only on the battlefield, but also in bringing Sweden out of the medieval times
right.
to a modern nation. So he defends the Lutherans. He doesn't want to conquer Europe, but he wants to defend the Lutherans. And his birthday is the 9th of December.
Right, so he's born today.
So
tomorrow.
Tomorrow, pour a little glass of aquavit and give thanks to God for Gustavus Adolphus. If you go to the Concordia Seminary campus, there's an arch there that's dedicated to Gustavus Adolphus. There's also a college, Gustavus Adolphus College.
I've heard of that.
It's not Missouri Synod, but it is a Lutheran college, and it commemorates this great a servant of God. So Gustavus Adolphus, he died in battle after singing this hymn, "O little flock, fear not the foe." It said that there was a fog that morning. The troops could see each other, but they couldn't engage because of this dense fog. So Gustavus Adolphus led his troops in singing "A Mighty Fortress" and this hymn.
Huh.
And then they went into battle, and he was shot in the back and killed.
Wow. Wow. There's so much there in terms of just the story of the Thirty Years' War itself, a little known piece of history, I think, for most American Lutherans. And the idea that when the early reformers were doing their thing, when Martin Luther and Melanchthon were teaching in Wittenberg, they were under threat of physical attack. It didn't happen because there was another war on a different front, on the Eastern Front with the Turk. But then it did eventually happen, mm-hmm. and we got walloped, right? And there were impositions of theological restrictions put on the area. Lutheranism barely survives in one sense.
You think of some of the Lutheran princes who were imprisoned, and all they had to say is, "I renounce this heretic Martin Luther," and they would have enjoyed a very comfortable the rest of their life, but they were faithful and suffered for it.
And then also what this war, called 30 Years' War, because it was long, did to the continent, too, in terms of the poverty. You imagine you're a serf at this time, and this happens in and around you and on your fields, and it did not go well for the people of the land.
It's incredible. I had the opportunity to visit Lützen, where Gustavus Adolphus was killed. There's a memorial chapel that the government of Sweden built there, and a stone on the site where he was supposedly shot and fell off his horse. But so many thousands were killed in just that battle that it's reported that the townspeople were the ones who had to bury the dead.
Wow.
The soldiers, just the ones that survived,
just left,
just marched off to the next battle. But the townspeople, it took them 4 to 6 days
Wow.
to bury the dead. And now the archaeologists there in Germany are finding mass graves from this fateful battle, and they're now continuing to do their historical digging. The significance of this battle is just immense.
And that then knowing what kind of stakes there are, that you have this warrior king, right? 16 years old, leading people on the charge, and in his own mind, this isn't about himself, and this isn't about fighting his enemy. It's about defending what we believe and why we believe it. And I think there's no greater confession than the fact that he would even think to sing this song. This is in a sense folly from the eyes of the world, and yet an awareness that even though they take, you got to imagine Mighty Fortress, they take his life, the kingdom still is won, the battle still is won. And then here we have, again, a little flock for not the foe, that this is in the section of the hymnal called the Church Militant. Mm-hmm. And so you think I Am Jesus' Little Lamb is sort of a more of a softer children's thing. So you hear the word a little flock, you think, oh, maybe this is a soft hymn. It's not. It's a battle hymn. It's a hymn about how the enemy's power cannot overcome us. It's not just about swords and battles in medieval Europe. It's about the war of ideas that is going on around us right now.
Both of these great Reformation hymns talk about there's one champion. Right. And that is Christ. So this last stanza here. Amen, Lord Jesus, grant our prayer. Great captain, now thine arm make bare. Fight for us once again. So again, it's not Gustavus Adolphus who's the great battle genius, but Christ fights.
Right.
I mean, we have this in the Old Testament, right? The Lord fights for them.
Right.
And this continues church today.
He wasn't singing this thinking that Jesus is going to come and necessarily win on the battlefield. He was going to do his vocation. He's going to be a good king and a good protector of the people. Mm-hmm. But he's saying that no matter what happens in this age, we know that that battle over death is won, the battle over sin as won. I like verse 3, as true as God's own word is true, not earth nor hell's satanic crew against us shall prevail. Their might, a joke. A mere facade. God is with us, and we with God. Our victory cannot fail.
This was the battle cry as they went into battle, is God is with us.
Yeah.
And that's the eyes of faith.
And his death, a joke, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing. Nothing. We'll see this guy on the last day, the Lion of the North, which makes me think I'm a Game of Thrones fan. And it's like, oh, we got a guy called the Lion of the North who's a Lutheran? I want like his crest on my wall now.
He may sing A Mighty Fortress in German, though. So
yeah, we'll have to learn it.
Get prepared.
That's God's language anyway, I'm told.
So again, a lot going on in the church's history, and like I say, you hear it on KFUO. If you don't know where we've been, you sure as heck don't know where you're going. So the history is important. It's God's great treasure, and let's even in these days before Christmas continue to thank God for his history of redemption in the church.
But I think that's worth dwelling on just for a moment. We got about 3 minutes here. The idea that, you've heard the cliche, those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. There's another one I think is a little better. History may not repeat, but it rhymes, right? Mm-hmm. And so that if you've lost track of how things don't really change in mankind and how we engage the world, and then therefore learn from what are clearly bad ideas, you end up having them happen again. And there's no more resilient bad idea than salvation by works. You know, and that one comes up more than just about anything else. And so today we may not have the Roman Catholic Church trying to threaten us with the sword to get us to give up our faith in grace alone. But there are other threats, some of them even lackadaisical threats, lukewarm threats, but they're threatening this idea that Jesus Christ, the righteous one, is the answer to my life.
And we need to hear that every day.
Yeah, to have it fed into us, because we're forgetful. Or as, who was it told me, it was one of the prophets at seminary, that we got the Holy Spirit poured into us, but we leak. We need it poured back in again.
So maybe next week we can talk about this hymn, For All the Saints. I think that's a great one when we talk about the history of the church. Is you have, you know, great servants of Christ in wherever, whatever vocation God places them. But we not only need to know about that, we need to sing about that.
Right, right. And when it's All Saints Day, no, we just passed that, though. That's ways back. But that's normally the hymn sung on All Saints Day?
Yeah, when I was serving in the parish, that would be our closing hymn at just about every funeral we...
Oh, that's a good one for that.
We had the opportunity to conduct. So we had a visitor saying, that's an awfully happy hymn for a funeral. And it's like, you got it.
Did you read the words? For all the saints who from their labors rest... Yeah, a death is no longer a threat to us. Death is no longer really the enemy. He is the enemy, but he's been destroyed. And now we simply will ascend to rest with Christ, to be held in his body in paradise until he returns, to put us back into our bodies, resurrected, made perfect, immortal, and live really with all the saints of old, the cloud of witnesses who we shall see again, including Gustavus Adolphus II of his name, it seems.
Is yeah, that right? there's a two thrown in there somewhere.
Yeah. King of Sweden, Lion of the North, Confessor of Christ. You're listening to Historically Speaking on His Time, Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news, Dr. Dan Harmelick in studio with me. I'm Pastor Jonathan Fisk. Way to go.